John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." As we come to these verses on love, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord, you are the God of love. You understand love. You loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Lord, as we consider love this morning, we consider sacrifice this morning. Lord, may we think of your sacrifice for us. And Lord, may it help us to grow in our walk with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Since tomorrow is Memorial Day, and because of the choir's presentation regarding those who have died for our freedoms, I thought it might be good to digress, at least for Sunday, today, from 2 Peter, and think of Memorial Day instead. Memorial Day is a particular day in which our nation remembers and mourns the loss of all Americans who have died defending our country throughout the world since 1775. This remembrance is all-inclusive, spanning 247 years and over 60 military actions that claimed over a million lives. Most Americans are familiar with the major wars, the Revolutionary War, War of 1812, Mexican War, the Civil War, Spanish-American, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Persian Gulf, Iraq, Afghanistan. But few think of those killed in lesser-known engagements. Examples like the Franco-American Naval Battle of 1798, Grenada, 1983, Somalia, 1993. Tragedies like the bombings in Lebanon in 1983 and the bombing of the USS Cole in 2000. But no American death is too insignificant not to remember when a life was lost on behalf of our country. GIs don't choose when or where they serve or what foreign policy they enforce. The death of a sailor in the Persian Gulf is every bit as important as one killed in the Pacific during World War II. Any distinction is irrelevant. These men and women have remained mostly anonymous, except to the families who love them. Who were they? They are relatives, friends, neighbors, melded together to perform a service for an entire country. They came from all walks of life and from all regions of our country. Nevertheless, they had one thing in common, the love of and loyalty to country. They were the nation's defenders. On Memorial Day, America commemorates those who made the greatest sacrifice possible, selflessly giving one's own life. Far too often, the nation as a whole takes for granted the freedoms that we enjoy, freedoms paid for by the lives of others that few of us actually knew. Today and tomorrow, we collectively remember those who gave their all. The scripture we're reading this morning is fitting for such a Sunday, especially verse 13, where Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." In this verse, Jesus spoke of the greatest expression of love, sacrificial love, agape love. An obvious example of sacrificial love is that of military personnel. When a person enlists in the armed forces, they repeat the following oath: "I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith, and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. These men and women volunteer to leave home and family to protect the freedoms that we treasure. Our freedom of religion, speech, the right to bear and keep arms, and many more are defended and protected by our military. It was former Senator Fred Thompson who said, "This wouldn't be the land of the free if it weren't for the home of the brave." It's good and proper for us to thank God for the men and women who have sacrificially loved each of us through military service, especially those that made the ultimate sacrifice, their lives. On January 23, 1968, the USS Pueblo, a Navy intelligence vessel, was engaged in a routine surveillance of North Korean coast, where it was intercepted by the North Korean patrol boats. According to U.S. reports, the Pueblo was in international waters, 16 miles from shore. But the North Koreans turned their guns on the lightly armored vessel and demanded its surrender. The Americans attempted to escape, and the North Koreans opened fire, wounding the commander and two others. With capture inevitable, the Americans stalled for time, destroying the classified information aboard while taking further fire. During that time, several more crew members were wounded. After being captured, the 82 surviving crew members were thrown into a brutal captivity. In one particular instance, 13 of the men were required to sit in a rigid manner around a table for hours. After several hours, the door was violently flung open. A North Korean guard brutally beat the man in the first chair with the butt of his rifle. The next day, as each man sat in his assigned seat, again the door was thrown open and the man in the first chair was brutally beaten. On the third day, it happened to the same man. Knowing that the man could not survive, another young sailor took his place. When the door was flung open, the guard automatically beat the new victim instead. For weeks, each day a new man stepped forward to sit in the horrible chair, knowing full well what would happen. At last, the guards gave up in exasperation. They weren't able to beat that kind of sacrificial love. Greater love has no one more than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. The thoughts of those who died for our freedoms in this particular story are great examples of sacrificial love. But the greatest act of sacrificial love was provided by God on our behalf as Jesus laid down his life for his friends and sacrificed himself for us. When one joins the military, death is a possibility, but not a foregone conclusion. But Jesus' death was not an accident. It was part of God's plan. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Verses I turn to a lot, I think. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, being verse 5. We read, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider the equality with God something to be grasped, hung onto, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus' whole life was a sacrifice. John 1:14 reminds us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." This love is a sacrificial love. This love is undeserved. Paul wrote back in Romans chapter 5, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, enemies of God, if you please. Christ died for us. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, begin in verse 18. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, begin in verse 18. 1 Peter 1, begin verse 18. Peter writes, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as gold or silver, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world and was revealed in these last times for your sake." The greatest act of sacrificial love was when Jesus willingly sacrificed his life to free us from our bondage to sin. Jesus died to free us from our bondage to sin. Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Romans 6:23, a familiar verse, reminds us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus laid down his life for you. And if you've accepted his gift, he calls you friend. Think about it. We who are Christians are friends with the Creator of the world. As we read earlier in John 15, verse 15, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." We rightly honor those who sacrifice themselves for their friends and their country. But the greatest gift ever made was by God himself in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son. Turn to a couple of other familiar verses. John 3:16-17. John 3:16-17. John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God is a giving God, a loving God, a God of mercy and grace. As Nikki said this morning, a God that continually forgives us. Normally, in human terms, when you receive a gift, even a little tiny gift from some friend or a loved one, perhaps at Christmas, maybe a birthday, or some other time, we like to show appreciation to that person, a way of telling them thank you. The gifts that God has given us, beginning with eternal life, are immense. Ginormous would be my word. The psalmist said the same thing I'm thinking about in Psalm 116, verse 12. "What shall I return to the Lord for all of his goodness to me?" What can we give to God, or what we can give God, is small. So very small when compared to all he's given to us. Nevertheless, we must not fail in presenting our gifts to God. What can we give him in appreciation for all that he's done for us? First, we can give him our love. We can give him our love. Even in human terms, love is the greatest of gifts. More words are written on love. More stories are told about love. More people are inspired by love than any other subject. It's a constant theme of novels, our TV dramas, our hopes and our desires. Who doesn't want to be loved? 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." Think about it. It's important, I think, that Paul, when he listed the fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit he listed was love. He wrote love, joy, peace. Actually, love is twofold, reaching first toward God and then toward our neighbors. Remember the story when the lawyer asked Jesus in Matthew 22, "What's the greatest commandment?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said. And then he added, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. One commentator wrote, our Lord shows us that the whole of true religion is comprised of us loving God and loving our neighbor. If you think about it, all other gifts are worthless, unacceptable, unless accompanied by and given from a heart of love. Let me show you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But this time, I'm going to start at verse 1. Usually start about verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning of verse 1. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. True love has no limitations, no boundaries. Love can't be purchased. It is always freely given. Love as a response to God's love for us. And along with love, in fact, perhaps as a result of our love, we must give ourselves to be used by God. Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Considering all the gifts that God has given us, how could he give him anything less? Paul added that this is your reasonable or your spiritual act of worship. When a young man or a young woman enters the army, he or she is trained and schooled in the hardships of military life. He holds none of his strength in reserve. She gives all that she has. Our spiritual commander, Jesus Christ, calls today for those who will bring all their powers into subjection and serve without reservation in the army of the Lord. What better response to God's gifts to us than to come to Christ, yielding our entire selves to his will, saying along with the Apostle Paul from Acts chapter 20, verse 24, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish this race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. James Hudson Taylor said something like this, unless he is Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. In response to Jesus' sacrificial love for us, we can offer him our love, ourselves. But we also must give him our best. We must give him our best. The wise men, from the birth of baby Jesus, who saw the star announcing Jesus' birth, gave a lesson in offering the best. Not only did they pursue this journey with diligence, against great odds, but also think about it, they refused the bribes of an earthly king. Their trust, their faith were firmly anchored in God himself. Others were unseen. Others refused to believe. But the wise men believed the promise. They clung to God's word. We'll never find God or serve him if we don't believe his word. But the wise men weren't satisfied to just go find the baby and then leave. They recognized his divinity. They worshiped him reverently. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. But they didn't only worship in words. They proved their love and their worship through the presentation of gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, some of earth's most valuable treasures. They gave to Jesus Christ their very best. We must not do anything less. Jesus Christ must be first in our lives with the best that we have. In one form or another, we each have special, unique talents. Our talents aren't the same. Romans 12:6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. The gifts may not be equal in number or variety, but they are gifts or graces from the Creator. And we must dedicate them to God also. We need to give Him our talents. God, through His Holy Spirit, has gifted each one of us with capacity, with potential, with talent to serve Him. And when we give our talents to God, they then come under His leading and the direction of His Holy Spirit. When that happens, every Christian soon discovers himself that in the power of Christ, that we are doing more and becoming more than we're capable of doing or becoming on our own. God changes us. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, "Do not neglect your gift." When you became a Christian, when the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, He gave you gifts. We must not neglect them, but we also must not use them selfishly. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse 19. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, beginning verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Gifts used selfishly are treasures on earth. But if you use your talents for His glory, you will hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." On a day, on a weekend, in which we honor those men and women who through sacrificial love made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can have the freedoms very few countries in the world have, the question for each Christian to ask themselves is, how have you honored Jesus Christ for the gift of freedom from eternal death in hell that He's made possible through His death on the cross for you? Do you love Him with your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? Do you honor Him with yourself? That is, do the things you do and the places you go bring honor to His name? Or are you selfish and go and do what you want instead, regardless of what that will do to the name of Jesus Christ, to the name of Christianity? In a culture where mediocrity seems to be fine all of a sudden, do you give Him your best or just whatever? Do you use your talents, your gifts, to serve God or to get men's approval, men's applause? Remember, you may be able to fool men, but as God told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Paraphrasing an old TV ad, what is in your heart? Let's pray. Lord, as we think of those that gave their lives from love, for love of country, for love of family, Lord, we want to thank You for them and for their sacrifice for us. And then, Lord, we are drawn to the greatest sacrifice of all, God Himself coming to this earth, the Creator, allowing Himself to live in a human body, limited, with the exact purpose to die on the cross for us. Lord, help us to some degree to understand that love. Then, Lord, give us the ability, the strength to return that love to You. May we love You in return. Lord, may we give You ourselves. And not just whatever. May we give You our best. May we use our talents to bring praise and honor and glory to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.